All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. As you know, I'm a compulsive gambler.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay, as you know. And one of my
Yep.
favorite ways to gamble is figuring out how many jelly beans are in the jar.
Is that a thing they play? And is it, I mean, that is that like a casino game, or is that a game that would be at that weird casino that was in Vegas Vacation where they play war?
I play the beanies down at Tinseltown. You know, I've been known to rock the beanies down in the City of Lights.
Do you have a system?
I mostly just kind of yeah, I do. I take I count the number of jelly beans around the outside edge of the jar, and then I multiply by my estimated height, and then I multiply by estimated depth.
Oh, I mean, well, that just sounds like a that they I mean
Playing the game, baby. I read it in a book. The book costs $49.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But the
Have you reached net positive on that investment?
the
Because
I bought
most of the
it.
time you don't get money. I think you that's how you get like tickets for like a free helicopter ride.
No, I get money playing the beanies. My goal is to become as famous and rich as Diamond Jim Jambo, who is the famous beanie player who did this. But here's my
Is
point,
that the guy
is
who
that
you
the
have a black velvet painting of on your wall?
And I have a black belt buckle of him right on my waist. I've been getting bored of, so I went to the casino. I'm playing the beanies for quite a while. One point, a croupier came up. He's wearing a black hat, all black suit. He has mirrored sunglasses. He tilts down his glasses. There's nothing under there. And he says, "Mr. Butterfield, are you interested in a different kind of game?"
There's
And I,
nothing under his glasses.
yeah, just blank space. Dressed all in black. He opened his mouth. There's actually no teeth in there. It's extremely weird. But I was like, yeah, of course I'm interested in a new game. So he took me in back, and he shows me in the middle of this glass case, there is a pin, right? And the pin has pierced the chest of some kind of cherub. And he said, "Mr. Butterfield, can you guess how many angels are on the head of this pin?" And I said, "Well, listen, I got to record the show. Let me do some magic here." And I wrote down a list of all these games, and then I put in my guess, and he tells me how many angels can fit on the head of that pin. It will correspond to a game on this list.
I actually forget the so is this one of those riddles that has an answer, or one of those ones that doesn't?
This is one of those ones that doesn't, unless you can say the name of God backwards in Enochian. So.
I cannot say it backwards in Enochian.
So just let's just do some guesses here. Take a look at this pin. How many angels could fit on the head of that bad boy? Slaps the roof of it. Put so many angels in this.
I'm led to believe that seven is a holy number. So let's say seven.
God is seven. Okay, let me I'm gonna say 4,000 angels can fit on the head of this pin. Okay. And let's he's inscribing the number backwards into my flesh. Hold on a second.
Ow.
The dark croupier is okay. Weirdly, it doesn't hurt. It actually feels very good, and that's actually way stranger. It looks like you were closer to right than me. Without going over, the number is actually 3,999, but it uses Price's Right rules, so you
Yes.
can't go over the
I hate those rules. What is this, fucking
you can't
blackjack?
go
Come on.
over. Okay, let's compare my chest now with my new cool tattoo to this chart.
Weird. There's a I don't know how to pronounce this in Norwegian. Looks like Norwegian. Engelkreis?
Engokresh.
Wait, okay, let me put this
Oh,
in
it's
here.
Enochian. It's not Norwegian.
Oh,
Let me see if I can get the dark croupier to translate that for me. Oh, he's writing more stuff on my skin. Oh, he just said, "Wait a minute, I have to use the bathroom." Okay.
he just wrote
Damn
that
it.
on
Okay,
there?
he'll be back. Yeah, he doesn't talk anymore. I earlier it seemed like he was talking, but the voice was just happening in my head, actually.
So I put that bit of Norwegian into Google. It comes back as Angel Crash, but then also I guess in English it's Angel Adventure.
Okay. Yeah, fuck this.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'm leaving this casino. I'm giving up my gambling ways.
You can keep your beans.
Yeah, you can keep your beans. Take that Diamond Jim Jambo. Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where you play bad games. You don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. And this is an episode about the game Angel Crash. You're thinking, hey, what is this nonsense? I thought that too. But the person who requisitioned this episode, Trond, says that Angel Crash is a really weird Norwegian 3D platformer. It's not really good, but it is an exceptionally weird story. When the angel kids team up with a pirate lady to find different instruments that they lost when they were late for their angel exam, I lose track of what this game is really about. This last paragraph here, I'm curious how you will find the game. It appears overtly religious, but at the same time, religion isn't really that prevalent in Norway, and it seems to borrow more names and surface ideas more than explicit religious messages. Yeah, this is just window trapping.
What I see. Well, and also, if you've never heard of this, you maybe have not heard of it because it's on iOS.
Yes.
Like, why don't we do, is this the first iOS game we've done on here?
We did, we did Horse Cop, the Horse Cop compilation, the Horse Cop compilation.
Yeah. I forgot about all the Horse Cop games, but I just thumbed the scale on that. Nobody suggested a Horse Cop game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised just because, I love the web extension for Norway is .no.
Yeah, I like that.
That's I like that too.
You gotta go snap all those up. So it began as a PC game. I guess it is a PC game over in Norway. The studio released it, but when they put it out for everywhere, they released it as an iOS game, which this is a 3D platformer played on iOS. So, it is unplayable garbage.
It's awful. Yeah. Virtual D-pad, like a virtual thumbstick is always awful.
Yeah.
Always. There's literally no exceptions. You can play a game where you don't have to do action and do that and be a little bit frustrated.
Yes.
Like I played Chaos Rings like that. And it's like, okay, all the actual action is in menus. That's fine.
Right.
But it just feels so bad.
Yeah. I was excited for a moment that Stardew Valley was coming out on iOS, but then I remembered, oh, that'll probably play like hot garbage.
Yeah.
On my iOS. So I'll just continue playing on my Switch.
I've said this like a million times, but like, I never want to play an iOS game that isn't designed for iOS.
I mean, it just that is a very, that's probably the most sensible thing you've ever said, Gary.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought so too. not I want to be a world-class bean boy, like Diamond Jim, Jambo, but like the, it's trash. Like there, I've enjoyed, I like the iOS port of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Right.
Because it's slow, but it's not like it wouldn't be better with an actual hardware.
Yeah, like I feel like I could go more quickly with a D-pad, right?
And it's like the only thing that gets is being on my phone so I can play in like little individual turns. But, and that's a powerful advantage. But a virtual thumbstick, a virtual buttons, just feel bad. And when I used to play a lot more iOS stuff, like there'd be all these articles that would pop up and be like, they've finally done it. They've made the good platformer. For iOS, and they never actually have.
Yeah. Like, I've tried
all the good platformers have like a thing. It's like Jetpack Joyride, where it's just a binary whether you're pressing it or not.
Yeah, but Jetpack Joyride is just a runner.
Yeah, those are the good platforms. I mean, the closest thing, or like the Hookshot one.
Yep. Cannibalt, also very good.
Yeah, Cannibalt's really good. It has to just be a binary whether your finger is on the screen or not.
Yeah.
If I have to control my direction, it's not good, and they've never been good, and none of them are good.
No. Even the ones that get a lot of press, like Super Crate Box.
Not good.
League of Evil, no thank you.
Not good. Yeah, they're all extremely bad. Like, they don't play very well. And like you're judging on this amazing, like the world's easiest curve when people are like, oh, this actually plays pretty well. Like, but just like play Mario Brothers 1 for like 2 seconds and then realize how shitty this plays.
Yeah.
You know, it just like feels so bad.
It's one of those things. Like, I don't expect to find a hamburger under a rock at the park.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I should eat that hamburger, or if I eat that hamburger and it's not very good, like everything is justified because I found it in the park. That's kind of like, that's a little bit how I feel about like finding a platformer in an unexpected place.
Yes.
You know, on a phone, but right?
Good for a park burger is not good.
Yeah.
Like that means bad.
You're right. Yeah.
So this is very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a game. I agree with Trond that it is not religious.
Right.
When I first saw this, before you read that, I was expecting this to be somebody listening who is trying to recreate the angel quiz magic.
Right.
But this
has
very little to do with religion.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a pretty shitty platformer with weird looking kids.
Yes, with weird looking kids who have nonsensical magic. You have one of them, so you're swapping between people in a way that makes me think the original PC game was like a co-op game for kids. Obviously, this is still for kids, but like one person played as the girl angel, one person played as the boy angel. Their attacks do different things, so the girl can actually kill these little fire imps that throw bricks at you. And the boy, his magic is it can stun those, but it is meant to quote clean up the environment, almost like the Lego games, how you like pick up the pieces and make stuff. But like in my play of this, which was admittedly kind of brief, like it just has him zapping a bunch of rubble on the ground and turning it into cheese.
Yeah. And the writing is frustrating,
right?
To me as a thing. I don't like how the little girl is like the voice of reason, and she just like looks terrifying. That's not the writing. She just like real weird looking.
So
kid.
Both of them look horrifying. It's because in the animation they speak, but their eyes don't move, and also they don't like look at each other or at the camera. They just kind of stare off into the middle distance as their mouths animate out of time because they didn't actually like resync anything for English dialogue.
They sometimes say each other's lines too. And the girl's eyes are specifically weirdly spaced. Like I think she looks less like a cartoon little kid to me, but the boy just questions everything that happens. So like whenever they go into a door, the boy's like, "What, a door?" And then the girl explains it. And then they like take a couple steps and they're like, "We're walking." And then the girl explains it, and it just keeps happening. Like, you know, oh, like we're on a pirate ship. Oh, we have to find. And there's a part here too where I thought I wasn't going to be able to get past. So I went down and did a little bit of the combat, and I quit because I was mad. But I thought I was going to be trapped because you go up, you land on a pirate ship for some reason. You go and you talk to the little tiny pirate girl, and she tells you to go kill some rats in her basement, and she's tricking you because the rats are actually demons.
Right.
And if you try to leave the deck where she's at, you'll trigger the conversation with her again. And it's not reliably skippable. So I like went up there and I kept trying to leave, like jump off this thing. And it kept saying, like, if you're anywhere within the same zip code as her and you press jump, it counts as speak.
Okay. So
she kept saying like, oh, don't come back empty handed. Don't tell me you're afraid of a few rats. Why don't you try again? And then tell me, you know, or then come back once you've killed the rats. And you can't really skip that. Mm. Or when you try to skip it, there's a little delay. So you tap the button to skip, and then there's a little delay. And then if you tap it again, once it already triggers the skip, you just restart the dialogue. And I was trapped in this like literal hell with this tiny pirate girl on this deck, just listening to that message over and over and over and over until eventually I figured out how to get off the deck without triggering.
Yeah.
You know, more talk for her. But yeah, it sucked.
Yeah. That sounds awful that you were just caught in a loop like that.
Yeah. Brother, I may not.
No, please take these loops.
Take these loops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's no good. I got further than you. I got off the boat. The combat is really, really bad in this.
Yeah.
I wonder if they slowed it down or made it like as nonsensical as it is because they knew that people who played it on iOS would not have precision.
Yeah.
So like aiming your little magical bursts is incredibly frustrating. Also weirdly, if you tap anywhere while you are moving, you do your jump, right? You have to actually like tap on a specific icon to fire. And like the tap box for that is incredibly small, or at least it was on the iPad where I was playing this. And I thought like, wow, these guys are just standing here. They're not actually trying to defend themselves. This is really dark. No. Like they just like maybe once in a while, these guys will throw a brick at you.
They're pretty gentle. And I couldn't figure out, the little girl kills them, but the little boy is supposed to say, like she says, like, I can clean up the messes they make.
Yeah.
And I didn't find the messes really.
I thought maybe they were going to be like rolling around, like taking dukes, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they're just going to be in their own filth.
Yeah,
just, you know, like a demon.
Right, yeah, like a filth demon. No, what that means, because this is very poorly translated, what that means is, like, wherever these demons are, they've, like, roughed up something and left this rubble around. they've left this rubble around. You have to use his magic to, like, reconstitute it into something. So, like, for the quest... that you get from that pirate girl. She says, "Oh, I need you to go get some rat whiskers for me. You have to turn some rubble into cheese to use that as bait."
Oh, that's what. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's
to use it as bait for a literal rat guillotine.
Oh, well, that's pretty fun. I like this game now. I wouldn't play this on a controller.
No.
So I wasn't about to play it on a D-pad or on a virtual D-pad kind of thing.
No.
You know. So yeah, pretty weird. The production values are surprisingly high.
Yes.
For a free iOS game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was just like, oh, and I didn't find, I don't know if there's like a microtransaction wall you run into at some point, but I was surprised by how, like, you know, it's not like good looking or anything. It just doesn't look, it is weirdly animated to your point before, but it doesn't look like Horse Cop cheap.
Right. It doesn't, you know, look like asset.
Like Horse Cop,
like,
bad.
Yeah. It doesn't look like an asset fake game. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is I was thinking about this too, in terms of like, you know, when we covered Pathologic and we talked about games from other parts of the world, like, is this, you know, is this a popular Norwegian game, huh? You know, like, oh, I guess we did cover this. this thing from another part of the world. Hooray. Yay.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
No.
Which is also pretty weird.
Yeah. I have no concept, of what, you know, of religion's role in other places, especially like Scandinavia. I will take Tron's word for it because, based on their name, I assume they live there. But yeah, like, I guess if they don't have an awful lot of Christian stuff, yeah, there's no proselytization going on here. So outside of the angel quiz, I don't like angel stuff. Usually that, whenever an angel shows up, it is like a particular kind of evangelical, PAX network kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care about an angel.
No.
Yeah. Did you know that we joked about the Pokemon Go for angels and then they made it?
What?
It exists. Like, somebody made a knockoff where there are angels everywhere and you catch them like Pokemon Go.
Oh, that's horrifying.
And we joked about that. Like, it's a bit from one of our shows. And they took it.
Well, okay. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I think that
I would like to go to heaven in exchange for my rights
for
that.
Okay.
So if they can make that happen.
Yeah. Just give me some insurance. That's fine.
I need 10% of heaven.
Yeah. I want half of the souls that were converted. Please and thank you.
Yeah. Please and thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So I'm looking at this. This is made by Raven Studio, RAVN. They do have an English side to this. They've made several games, not just Angel Adventures or Angel Crash. They have one that actually, like, I'm kind of curious about. Maybe it's because of the name, Tainted Keep.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good. But that also might be
look
bad.
Look at the art, though.
Yeah, the art.
Is that...
No. Oh, so it's just like a shitty... Man, I was expecting it to be like a Dungeon Keeper kind of thing for you.
No. It's virtual D-pad. Big Diablo.
I am, however, very curious. I need you to look one left of Tainted Keep to quiz Dan.
For mine, Tainted Keep is the one all the way to the left on the thing I'm looking
okay.
at.
Okay.
Just look.
You'll find quiz Dan. He's looking at you. Yeah. And he's pointing at you.
Okay. I'm looking. Give me a second here, buddy. Because there's putting Quiz Dan into Google is giving me a lot of bad YouTube channels.
Gary,
so.
you not having Quiz Dan in your life, it's killing me. So I'm just gonna put that link in the Slack for you.
Okay, I'll find it here.
Yeah,
Quiz Dan. Oh, hey buddy. hey, like weird. Love child of Rebus Philbin and Piers Morgan, but also the Green Goblin. Like,
he's got a little bit of GGD DNA in him. Yeah. I love the app icon for this, which is just this white man, looking sinisterly. He's given
a name.
so it has Quiz Dan giving a Kubrick stare at the viewer with just a big purple question mark over his shoulder.
Question mark. I like them throwing whatever, like this weird, I think that there's just like iOS screens he's tossing up in the way you would toss up money, but it's not money. Drix Skavlar.
So it's a free game. It's a free game. When you play it, the prize is Bork Quiz Dan.
Yeah. there's always a Quiz Dan. There's always a... I'm kind of into Quiz Dan.
The shitty thing about Quiz Dan is he only really thrives in that context. He's the, like, mm-hmm. like he can only speak in riddles. He answers questions with questions. So like when he goes to a restaurant, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The category, which I'm assuming category, we got Blanding, popular culture. Is that's gotta be pop culture. How is that the Norwegian for popular culture?
Well, loan words are a thing.
It's got an ash in it. It's got like one of those AE combination things. Live still, which is lifestyle. Jesus, do I know, Cole, do I know how to speak this language?
I believe you do.
Shit. Europop, what can that mean?
let's see here. I just put the app. I put the app description into Google Translate. Do you like to quiz? Quiz is spelled with two Z's and an E. Ready to get hooked? The Quiz Dan app is based on NRK's popular TV show Quiz Dan with Dan Borga. or don't know that. That's not his full name. With Dan Borga Akera. Fun subcategories, good functionality, and consistently high quality. Well-composed timepiece.
It is a well-composed. I'm trying to find Quiz Dan online. Like I wanted to see, but Quiz Dan has very bad SEO.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, damn, Quiz Dan.
Yeah.
I like how direct that name is.
So it is literally his name. I just wonder how Raven got the Quiz Dan license.
Yeah. Pretty special.
Yep. So there's literally no web presence for.
Yeah, no, this is hard to talk about.
Yes.
I can talk about a thing.
Yeah. So last episode, we erroneously thought it was a premium episode, but it was not.
It's fine to put that on me.
That's fine. Yeah. We're in this together, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. But we teased an anecdote for this episode. So I want to hear, how did your Halloween mystery go?
So my friends, I have old coworkers.
Extremely elderly. Yeah, they age at seven times the rate.
Yeah, they're advanced reverse Benjamin Buttons.
Mm-hmm.
These coworkers, and they throw a Halloween party every year, and they usually kind of go all out with decorations and stuff. But they're also very domestic. Like they'll have kids, and it's a work party, so like it tends to be for the amount of booze that's on offer, it tends to be pretty chill.
Okay.
This year, they had a murder mystery thing, and I was expecting them to, like have a kit, and instead they hired, a company
to have a kit,
this is a box. Like, oh, everybody gets their envelope. Yeah. Like I've done a dinner murder mystery thing, and that's what it was. It was a box.
Okay.
So it was an 80s theme party, and this company had an 80s theme package. So like we show up. And everybody's there and they're just kind of like milling about drinking and doing party stuff.
Did you have to dress up 80s?
Yes. That's what we did. But I don't do that. I don't do fashion costumes.
Right.
So I went as the song Africa. So I wrote the stats of the song on a t-shirt and I had an amp on my belt and played the intro whenever anybody read my t-shirt.
So Africa, Toto, like the, 3 minutes, would be 42 the lower seconds. Left
on the video. Yeah. So like the album and stuff. But I don't do fashion costumes. I don't like that as a Halloween thing. Just an excuse for people just to dress in clothes. Like,
yeah.
I think that's boring. So we're hanging out and everybody's in costume. And it's been a long time since I worked there. So I only know maybe six of the people.
Okay.
They're plus their spouses or whatever.
This is your old office job.
Yes. Okay. There's quite, it's been several years.
Mm-hmm.
This lady's walking around who is dressed up, kind of looks like, has like kind of a 80s metal hair and is using an accent, and is kind of dressed up, like has a bodysuit, kind of like she's one of the cats from Cats.
Okay.
And I wish I'd gotten a picture, cause she looked like Jenny Palladna.
Hmm.
Like she looked like Jenny's face. She kept speaking in this accent and I was just like, that's kind of weird. And then there was a tall guy walking around with a big 80s suit, who looked like. Boy, I don't even know how to describe what he looked like. Just tons of character in his face, like a big German guy, mm-hmm. like an extremely tall looking, extremely German looking man who is maybe 15 years older than everyone, like the oldest person there, like 60 or something like that. And they're walking around talking in accents. And I just assumed, oh, these are weird coworkers that my old coworkers have
okay.
who are taking this way too seriously. But they were actors. And they were trying to like mingle with the party and make jokes with everybody.
These were interlopers. Okay.
These were interlopers. And like my friends who threw the party didn't tell anybody that these people would be here.
Okay.
So it was very weird.
Well, what was their explanation? Like, oh, this is like my cousin.
I just don't, there weren't really introductions going
about. Okay. All right.
Like, we just kind of mill and talk to people I already talked to, and if they were talking to somebody. Well, I mean, it's too big a party for everyone to introduce other people to other people. Yeah. Like, so eventually they just started the game by pretending. So the girl's name was like Poison something. They all had really bad pun names.
Mm.
And was supposed to do a concert, and then the manager got electrocuted doing a sound check. And it's making me very mad because in their version of the sound check, it was somebody wears headphones.
What?
And listen, yeah, I was like, that's not what sound check means. And I said it to anybody who would listen. I was extremely obnoxious about, like, yeah. I know a thing or two about a thing or two about music.
Yeah.
Right? It's bullshit. So then a bunch of people who were in the party, like, got asked, I'm just describing a murder mystery dinner. It's dorky.
Mm-hmm.
The, we're called these like goofy pun names. So it was like Pat Minotaur.
Okay.
You know, that kind of, that's the level of discourse we're working with here.
What was it? A Minotaur?
Nope. It was my friend Ashley.
Okay.
And it was just this like thing where you walked around handing clue bucks to people. You got these clue dollars.
Oh.
And you handed them to people, and then they had to answer questions honestly, while these two weird actors walked around kind of like being real loud, extremely extra, and yelling in English accents and stuff. And then the corpse guy got up, and he was the detective after that. It was very Clue.
Okay.
Like he was super exaggerated French accent. And I kept saying it during the thing, but to anybody, I was just like, I have my job, and this is the dorkiest thing I've ever been a part of. Like, this is so dorky. It was pretty fun,
okay.
But it was a bad game because they violated their rules. And again, because I have the job that I do, like,
right.
I was frustrated by it. They're like, oh, you know, you're looking for a motive and opportunity, and only one character will have both those things. So I thought I didn't play as a character. I was on a team with somebody. And we found somebody who had a motive and opportunity, but they weren't the killer. So there was more than one person who had motive and opportunity.
So it was a guess?
There was more like you had to kind of guess the circumstances of the murder.
Okay.
You know? So we had the motive and opportunity, but we didn't really have the circumstances.
Hmm.
So if you got the circumstances right, like one person had a motive and opportunity, and also like there's a little narrative that explains what happened. But I don't think everybody was playing correctly either. You know,
okay.
I think like some people were not good at disclosing information correctly for it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was fun, but it was pretty goofy. But just like imagine like you're at a regular party trying to do party stuff, and then just like some 6'7" German elderly man walks up to you and go, you know, talks about how he's managing the band for the night out of nowhere, and then you go back to your drink. Like, it was very weird.
What was there a band playing at the thing?
No, the lady who looked like Jenny was supposed to be a band.
Okay.
And she was supposed to be a guy as well, and it was kind of weird.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, not that it matters, but, like, all the fiction referred to her as a dude. But, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So but that was supposed to be the band. And then later, Pat Minotaur, who was the character who we thought did it, the motivation was she wanted to open up for this person and wasn't able to.
Okay.
And then they were like, oh, you know, you've... Okay, we'll finally let you play your song. And then they just led the party in a sing along of How We Will Rock You. I love rock and roll.
Yeah.
Which is
Joan Jett, but yeah.
Yeah, Joan Jett. Well, it might have been I Love Rock and Roll. Like whatever Pat Minotaur song that isn't Love is a Butterfield.
Pat Minotaur? I am the warrior?
I don't think it was I Am the Warrior. It might have been We Will Rock You, which is even real weirder. But I was like, in this world, does Pat Minotaur and Pat Benatar exist? Like, what is this? And they both sing the songs of Joan Jett? Like, I don't understand what is happening. You colossal, colossal weirdos.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much. Like, it was fun. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't want to say it wasn't fun, but it was very weird.
Yeah. So, you've described your posture during this. It was hard for you not to notice the inconsistencies and just kind of the poor design and presentation. Like, it's not,
yes.
Like, I mean, like it's not just the fact that we do the show that makes you aware of this. You also worked in escape rooms for a while and
yes, I'm very familiar with this kind of thing.
Yeah. Like in-person, kind of attraction or event design
immersive
kind of stuff.
Theater.
Yeah. Immersive theater. There we go.
That's
a good word
game.
For it. What was everybody else's posture? Were they into it? Were they also like role playing their shit or?
Really varied.
Okay.
Like, so a lot of people weren't into it. Somebody abdicated their character at one point. They're just like, I don't actually want to play, and like just tag somebody else in as the person, which I thought was very funny.
I'll just be standing in the kitchen and drinking, which is what we should be doing at this party anyway.
Yeah. And so some people were extremely not into it. Some people were very into it. My team, I was on a team with my old boss,
okay,
who is a legendarily competitive person. Who like headhunted me because she's like, oh, you know, games and stuff.
Right.
But it did mean that like part of my fun party time, I got relegated to taking notes.
Ah, shit.
So it's just, yeah, like, it's just like, it's just like old times. Like I'm just taking notes for Becky. Like,
just like it's very funny. Times.
But after the murder mystery, I managed to get drunk.
Yeah.
So it was all right. But the, it was just, so people were really varied. A couple of people were very into it, mm-hmm, and like, were like really, really into playing their characters, which I thought was, if everyone had done that, it would have been a lot more fun. But it was a huge amount of like, and as somebody who plays like D&D, like you had to give up a lot of self-consciousness to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you either have to do, especially if you're in a group of strangers, or you have to be around people you're comfortable with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was a combination, you know, is like half people are comfortable with, but also plenty of strangers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like an exceedingly vulnerable thing to do anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's very weird to just like, I'm going to pretend to be, you know, I wish I could remember more of the names.
Yeah.
Because they were all these kind of bad puns.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's like Silly Idol. Billy's already a name.
There was like a Billy Idol one that was like, it was something like Silly Idol, but it wasn't Silly Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
It was a thing. It made me think, and I'm not going to disclose this because I don't think that the people who are my friends who threw it on will listen to this, but mm-hmm, I found out how much money they paid for it.
Uh-oh.
And like, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, and I get it is like two actors for, you know, doing this whole thing and running this game,
yeah,
for a couple hours, but like, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
So,
That's a bummer.
Yeah. They had a bunch of themes, and all the themes are just decades pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like they did a 20s one, they did a 50s one, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Apparently they have a wedding one you could do like at your wedding.
Oh, that sounds like a great way to alienate your loved ones.
Like your loved ones, your relatives. Like, hey, grandma, I'm not your daughter for this game. I'm, you know, Claire LaSalle, the international jewel thief, who is also has a secret.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm a southern gentleman.
Exactly. Well, I'll say the it was a whole thing.
Yeah. So. Did you ever play Velvet Sundown when it was like a thing, like that a lot of people were trying out because it was so weird and goofy?
Nope.
Okay. Velvet Sundown. It is a murder mystery game where everybody is you're on a boat called the Velvet Sundown. There are a bunch of different sets of characters and scenarios that you're in. The initial hook that got everybody interested in it was the fact that it had text to speech. That like weirdly ran on a server, and like it got so popular that they had to shut it down. But like you would type stuff and your characters would say it. But it's a very similar kind of thing. You're getting like clue box as you're going around and talking to people. Each character has kind of like a limited set of things they can do, but it's about like figuring out who is guilty of the crime that is being prosecuted. So dumbly, I would get into a game of this and I would actually role play, but it was actually just people like going around saying, you know, what's the clue, lol, like people actually trying to like min max it, weirdly enough.
Yeah. If not that, then yeah, I now that I'm looking at it, I do remember this.
Yeah.
I just don't remember the name of it. If people weren't doing that, it would just be people walking around saying dick,
yeah,
and stuff. Like this is you know, similar to like D&D, I guess, like anything like this, you just have to have everybody on the same page or just nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, one person ruins either of those things.
Yeah.
So,
Same thing with Quiplash.
Same thing with Quiplash. I mean, even though like one person won't ruin a Quiplash, I think.
Yeah.
If you have like seven people and one person's kind of an asshole, they just lose over and over. Like, it ruins it for them.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the times when like somebody would just barge into a Quiplash game.
That's a bummer, because Quiplash is one of the most ones you can have,
yeah,
if you have a good group.
Yep.
So yeah. Games are fun.
Yeah.
I was one of the things I thought about during it was like, if I had to, I bet you I'd get a job with these guys.
Yeah.
I could pretend to be one of these things if I had to.
Yeah.
You know, if like I ever fell on hard times.
Yeah.
You know, I've got an experience set for this.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, just again, maybe this is because I am sliding into like the uncle or dad part of my life, but like I look at a business like that and I just think about like, what are the logistics of that? Like, is there somebody in a room doing dispatch? Like, is one of these people who is here, you know, pretending to be a sound check guy? Is that the person who owns this business? Who designs these scenarios? Like, I want to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's enough people. Like, I looked on their website and there are plenty of different like actors they show. So it's a big enough company. And I'm sure you just book in advance and the two people who are dispatched who run the game and are also actors just show up with the materials, you know, and just do it. Like, there's nobody running like sound or anything.
Yeah.
For it. So it's just I bet you it's not that dissimilar to doing private escape room events, except it's a house call.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it costs way more. And those people, presumably, I mean, probably not the actors or anything, but the company presumably makes a lot more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because the overhead on this would be like just paying the actors.
Right.
Like the materials all look very cheap. You know? So, yeah, not the worst thing. We didn't get this whole tangent or something like that, but like, I was thinking about stuff. This made me think of a thing. I also went to a movie. Allison Baker was in town for PRGE, and we went and saw the new Halloween.
Okay.
And it was fun. It was good and fun. I liked it. But there was a portion in the middle I was pretty bored, so my mind was wandering. And I had an idea for a pretty good short film.
Okay.
And I was like, I should try to do that. I've never done that before. I don't know. I should look and see what that would take. Like right now I'm pretty busy, but it'd be fun to do. And like, it's a Lovecrafty thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you the idea. Nobody gets to steal it. And if they steal it, I'll know you stole it. But like, I was thinking about, you know, in The King in Yellow, in those books, those stories.
Yeah.
So somebody goes to a suicide booth in that. And because it's more modern, before you go, like, you're offered refreshments and stuff, and then you have to watch commercials before you can kill yourself. And one of the commercials is for the repairer of reputations, but nobody wants to hire him because of the cat. So, like, whenever somebody calls him, because you remember that detail from that story? Like, the repairer of reputations is just a normal guy, except whenever they see him, there's cat wounds all over him.
Yep.
Like, so, like, he's always, like, you know, somebody calls him. It's like, yeah, I'm having a problem with my reputation. And then he's talking on the phone, and you just hear like this cat, you know, freaking out and him struggling with the phone and stuff. And they show him, he's got band-aids everywhere. And,
right. Yeah.
And just, you know, nobody wants to, this guy's got a terrible reputation. He's the guy whose cat just fucks him up all the time.
Of course. Yeah. He's just constantly, those wounds are seeping all the time.
Yeah. You know, and just, and between those two, between one, having going into the suicide booth and having it be like a modern movie experience is funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, commercials and recruitment for the army and all this stuff, like before you do it. Yeah. And then you have to watch one of the commercials and it's for that repair of reputations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. Like it was just like, oh, that'd be fun to do and pretty cheap. You know, like it would just be, it could be lots of audio and I just need to rent a room, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you would want to, you could probably do that like on a, like an iPhone with a gimbal, like one of those ones that has an audio out and just get audio from that. Like into a separate device. Yeah.
Yeah. I in my head while Michael Myers was like walking around, I was kind of, you know, napkin calculating in my head, like what I think that would cost.
Yeah.
And probably more than I think that it would cost, you know, but not that much.
Yeah.
Which is costumes and rooms.
Yeah, I think you could do it. The trick with that, and this is me just thinking about it as like a producer or something, you don't just have the people in the room, you also have whatever the commercials would be too, so you have to produce the commercials for the show within the show.
I think there would just be the one commercial.
Okay.
Like so if I want to do more of that, it could be like animatics or whatever, like
yeah
you know, PowerPoint style stuff for so it would just be the one commercial. That'd be like a law offices commercial kind of thing for the repair of reputations, but he's just always, and then like I just thought it'd be very funny if like, you know, you get some kind of shitty stuffed cat or whatever, and then it happens during the commercial, you know, and you just keep cutting away as the cat just can increasingly fucks him up. There's just blood, and, you know,
it can either be
details of that fucking story.
Yeah. It can also be like implied or outright stated, like this was assembled from all of the best takes we could get.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Very, very funny. I was trying to think of something funny with because the underrated story in the collection is the guy who makes the weird soaps or the weird petrifying things.
Oh yeah, with the fountain.
Yeah, I love, that. I love that story. Yeah. Like, I mean, all four of those initial stories are extremely good, but that fountain one, like, nobody ever talks about that one, and it's very weird. Super cool. So
yeah, just like the ridiculously lifelike fish.
Yeah. And just like the way they describe the texture and stuff of it is just very very appealing to me.
Yeah, I need to read those again. We're recording this before Halloween. If I can get my lungs together, I need to do another story read.
It's a great story. People ask me, they're like, "Oh, is this worth reading?" I'm like, it's hard to say because 60% of it isn't, but like,
right. Yeah.
40% of it is very good.
Like there's no dividing line. Like you just have to know that the first four stories are the ones with the cool horror stuff. And I was like, what is this like shitty love poem that spans for 30 pages? Like,
And then another one. Yeah. And then another one. Like I kept expecting it. Like I read the first couple stories after those first four, and then I skimmed the rest of them, kept waiting for it to come back to something.
Right. Right.
And it just never does. Like it's very weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't
fit.
Not fit. So that's not very much about these angels, but there's not too much of this angel game. I didn't have anything else to say about angels.
No, I don't really either.
Enough
angels. We could talk about like the OG angels, but I think, you know, we've done that so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Angels are over. I'm done with angels.
No more angels.
Like they're the zombies of now. Like no more angels. And even when they try to do the scary movie with angels, it wasn't good. Like you just can't do it.
Wait, what? What scary movie with angels?
Oh, there's some movie where the trailer has like somebody in a diner and the old lady works at the diner. Opens her mouth really, really wide. Is the main image from the trailer. Is a few years ago, like nothing came of it.
Yeah, no idea.
I think they were scary angels.
Yeah.
They weren't scary like, you know, like a foot with seven eyes, like not like real scary angels, they were just demons essentially.
Wow.
I don't remember anymore. Don't need to. It's
no.
Fine. I remember every movie that exists. What am I? Roger Ebert? Ghost?
Yep.
That was me remembering that he was dead halfway through that sentence. If you like this show, what can people do, Cole?
Well, Gary, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. They can support our work there, not just this show, but several other shows like it. You can get extra episodes of this show through that to a month, or you can go to duckfeed.tv/store. And get the back episodes of those for a reasonable price.
Indeed. You can tell your friends.
Please do.
Yeah. Tell your friends about it. Thank you very much, Trond.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Everybody's listening, stay tuned in the next few weeks. So we'll talk about Duckstream.
Yes.
We're not quite ready. We just finished with PRGE and we're both behind on stuff, but we will talk about that and announce that and start planning it soon.
Yeah.
So in December at some point, and we're looking forward to that. That's always a very fun time.
Me too. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
Gonna be good.
Yeah.
Is this the year that my body fails on me and I can't stay up for 24 hours? We'll see.
Just like everybody else is going to take a nap. Like, okay, Gary, you got this for a couple of hours. Then it's just like 2 hours, like you've fallen out of the frame and you just yelling,
yeah,
help.
Or just nap cam. Like I just lay down on the couch and just take a nap and everybody can watch that.
I think that might get the best ratings of the entire show.
Yeah. Yeah. People like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Man. I'll just be spamming the chat with kappas and shit. I don't know what that is. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. I think I can do it. Right now I couldn't. Like I'm projecting my current body into trying to do that and I couldn't do it right this moment, but with a week of prep, probably. So keep an eye out for that and keep an eye out for other announcements and stuff like that. And thanks everybody for listening. And who is
who is Wing Dog?
Wing Dog.